Hey, middle-aged gamers, welcome back to another podcast. We are considerably late. I apologize for that. We'll talk about that story later. So you need to stay tuned because we're going to get right into today's stories. And today's first story is going to be that.
If you've been wanting to play Naraka Blade Point and you just haven't gotten around to it, now's the time to do it. It is finally out on consoles as of last week on July 14th. And it is free to play. So it is free to play everywhere. You can play it on Steam. You can play it on PlayStation. You can play it on Xbox. I do not think it is on Switch, unfortunately. But if you have been looking forward to this, as I said, now is the time to try because you really have nothing to lose. And this game is really popular online. It's got a pretty high player count. And yeah, give it a shot. I personally have been trying to play it. My internet has unfortunately not been working as well as I would like it to. But yeah, this is something that I will be checking out for sure.
Nice. So I remember you said the next time you'll be streaming will be Thursday evening, our time, right?
Hopefully. I meant to stream on Monday and I didn't get around to it. But hopefully, yeah, it'll be tomorrow night.
Okay, yeah. There's a lot of stuff going on. And again, we'll talk about some of that maybe towards the end of the show. But yeah, this looks cool. Definitely not something for me. But I definitely see people love multiplayer games. And this is, I think, do you pay for this on Steam or is it free to play?
It's free to play now. I got it. Like I said, you guys didn't hear the screen, did? I got it a couple of years ago. It was on sale on Steam, and I picked it up, and I just never got around to playing it. And then finally, I saw the announcement that it was going to be coming to consoles, and I was like, okay, I'm more of a console guy. I'm more used to a controller. I'm going to give this a shot when it comes to console, and just never got around to playing it. So I do have it on Steam. It's actually installed. I've been updating it this whole time just in case. I'm like, all right, maybe I'll play it now. Maybe I'll play it now. So I've been keeping it consistently updated, but I haven't played it on Steam yet. Yeah.
Cool, Adam. Thank you very much for that update. That is interesting. And I'm surprised that this maintains such a high player count. But good. Yeah, if you're enjoying this, let us know down in the comments. Let us know down. If you're watching this as a YouTube show, please let us know. It would be wonderful to hear what you guys think about this game and how long you've been playing it, what's it been like over 2 years, because games do change over time and it would be interesting.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's talk about Marvel's Snap, which is something my current card game. So if you guys are watching this on YouTube or you're watching a live stream, this is a video captured from my PC last night. I'm like, okay, I want to show the spotlight stuff. I'm like, where is that video? I don't want to take anybody else's video off YouTube, and I just captured it from my PC. Let me explain, right? What is the spotlight cache system? In any card game, in any digital card game, even real life card games, right? You're playing Magic in real life. One of the hardest things to do is to get cards, right? And get good cards. What Marvel Snap did, right, instead of saying, okay, I'm going to spend money and I'll get all the cards I need, right? Cards are gated by levels. Right? And if you can see in the video, I'm like level 2,800 and something. As I level up my cards, I will get more cards, right? So that's how it works. So it's very hard in Marvel Snap for you to go out and just buy all the cards because you need thousands of dollars, right? Whereas in a game like Hearthstone or other digital card games, you just keep on buying packs until you have all the cards that you want. But this meant that as a new player, right, I'm missing some essential cards. Some of these, if you're a Marvel fan, you might know some of the names. I'm missing like a Sarah. I'm missing like a Doctor Doom from Fantastic Four, which is a really good card. So what Marvel Snap did, the company banned Marvel Snap second, and they said, okay, we're going to do the system where every so many levels, you're going to be able to have a choice of one of these four cards. If you're watching the video, you can see there's a new card called Echo. There's a card called Iron Lad. And there's another card, right? So when I hit this spotlight cache level, I get one of these cards, a 25% chance to get like the newest card of the week, right? And if you're not sure what that is, basically Marvel Snap gives you a new card every week. So the meta is always changing because these cards are roughly from somewhat impactful to very impactful every week. Now, this spotlight cache system just started 2 weeks ago. And what I wanted to fill you guys in is like the overall reception has been negative, and I understand why. So as a typical middle-aged gamer, you don't have time to play this like 8 hours a day or 4 hours a day. So you're playing maybe an hour a day. And in an hour a day, 7 days a week, you can be able to get one of these spotlight caches. So you can be able to get one of these cards. And again, it's not a guarantee you're going to get the card that you actually want out of the four choices, which kind of sucks, right? I was lucky last week. I got my one card. I got the Living Tribunal. Again, if you want to talk about these cards and what they mean, we can have a whole separate video about that. I can find some time to do that. I'm like, that's cool. But then this week, there's a new set of cards, and I didn't have a chance to get the card I actually wanted last week because I just have a week to play, right? And of course, I'm playing my real game, which is Valheim, on my own. I'm playing The Rising as well with my friend Hans. That's it. That is it. So this is a problem a lot of people have found, is that, look, you don't have a lot of time to get these spotlight caches. There's a big gap between this spotlight cache and the other spotlight cache. So I got one, and every week it resets, right, roughly about Tuesday, 11 a.m. Taiwanese time. And then you have another week in which to get the next set of cards. Someone like me, I'm getting one card a week. That being said, right, second day, I said they're going to be evaluating the system. They're going to be like, okay, this is not working for people. We're going to change it, which is good. Now, how long they're going to wait to change it is another story. But at the moment, it is good. It's not great. It's still going to allow you to get some of these really cool cards that you wouldn't have been able to get, or you'd have to wait a very long time to get, because some of these cards are really locked at the 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 levels. You're watching some streamers and YouTubers, they're at level 22,000 or level 25,000, right? So they have all the cards and they have all the variants. So if you are a Marvel Snap player, let me know what you think. I'm content with the new system. I think it could be better. I think one of Marvel Snap's downfalls is that you're unable to play some of the best decks just because you don't have some of these core essential cards. And even if you try and play around, you're trying to like make other decks, unfortunately, right, the way some of the cards are balanced, you're never going to be able to be as good as the top five decks, because there are no other cards that are that equivalent power level. So yeah, that's it for Marvel Snap. Let me know what you think.
Yeah, so I'm curious here, because I'm looking at the video and I see your little mouse pointer moving around, but the screen's really narrow. So are you playing on like a phone and then on a PC, and recording it on a phone and then going over this on the PC, or how are you playing?
Nope, Marvel Snap on the PC is in this vertical format.
That is an odd choice.
And again, they've just made it for mobile, right? This is a game, it's meant to be on a phone, it's meant to be one-handed. A lot of the gestures and stuff will hold your finger on your screen. So on your PC, you'd have to hold the mouse click in order to do this. So, this has not been, like, second gen's priority has been just like mobile, because that's where the market is. But streamers do play it. Like, I've worked on a streaming setup where you have the game on the right-hand side, you have the deck that you're playing on the top left, you have your video on the bottom. It actually looks good. Like, I've set it up, and unfortunately, Kick did not want me to stream. But, you know, it looks weird on its own when you're playing, but it does look good. Like, they have 4K resolution textures for cards, so this does look really nice. It is 4K vertical, but it does look really nice.
Okay, so this is kind of like a parody thing where they're like, let's just give everybody the same UI. So if you're the kind of person that wants to play on your PC and then switch over to your phone, you don't have to relearn the UI or rethink where things are. It's like everything's going to be in the same place no matter where you go.
Exactly, exactly. I hope they will release a PC like version where it's like full landscape mode and stuff. I don't think that's going to happen. I'm sure they can see, just like we can see on our podcast, who's listening on a cell phone, who's listening on a computer. Just they can see, okay, most people are playing on mobile, so there's no impetus for them to say, okay, we need to spend more money developing a landscape version for a MacBook or a desktop PC.
Do you think the solution is just to put these things closer together in level, or make people level up faster, or would your solution be?
So my solution would be put these things closer together. I think one card a week for a typical middle-aged gamer is not good enough, right? Again, this is rewarding the people who sort of wail out of this game and spend 3-4 hours playing this every day, 7 days a week, which is cool. But again, you don't have time to do that. I don't have time to do that. And I think this comes down to the idea of middle-aged gaming, right? We are the people who have the money, right? And I'd spend money on this, right? I am spending money on this. So make it easier, and make it easier for people to, as long as you keep the middle-aged gamers happy, right? We will continue spending money once a month for season passes and buying like cards or expansion packs or packs to support ocean sustainability and that sort of stuff. And yeah, but at the way it works at the moment, it's okay. I don't think anyone's going to be too unhappy about it, but it does mean that you're still going to, every time I look at like the top tier meta decks, when I go to snapzone.com, I'm like, oh my God, when am I going to get this card? I want to play with this card. It's so cool. And I just have to keep waiting, because I can't buy it. Cool. Sir, what is your second story?
So my second story is going to be about Baldur's Gate. And obviously, this is a really popular game. People really loved Divinity Original Sin. People really love the old Baldur's Gate. So if you have been looking forward to this, then it's going to be exciting, or you're going to be excited to know that there are going to be as let's see, there was 17,000 variations of the ending. Now, don't get too excited there. These are 17,000 variations of the ending, not 17,000 endings, which means that basically if you take all the choices that you make throughout the game and then you look at how each one affects the ending, when we've compiled all those together, there is a total of around 17,000 possible combinations of these results. So if you have, say, for example, three characters and each character has two fates, then that's what, two to the three squared, nine possible endings, basically. So that would be nine variations of the ending, because you would have A, B, A, B, A, B, B, A, B, B, A, and B, right? So those are all the possible variations that you could have. But it's more like that. It's not, they're not going to feel significantly different, or at least many of them are not going to feel significantly different. But that is exciting, because it does mean that even though the endings might not be super variated, it does mean that there's going to be a lot of choices that you can make in the game that are going to have some form of impact. To me, that's what's more exciting, is the fact that the lead up to this, that we have all these possible combinations, means that we're going to have a lot of choices in the game that are going to have some kind of impact on where we go in the end. So that to me is really exciting. And they also, they mentioned there's 174 hours of cinematics. There's 22 subclasses. I think the maximum class you can get is around, it's not very high, I don't remember the exact number, but it's around 12 or so. So you're probably not going to be diving too deep into many of those subclasses. And I would assume that most of those 174 hours of cinematics, they're not all in one playthrough. I'm assuming some of those cinematics are going to be, if you take choice A, you're going to get this set. If you take choice B, you're going to get that set. So don't feel so daunting when you go into it and you're like, oh my God, this is just going to be a movie. No, you're not going to be seeing everything. But yeah, I'm really excited. I know a lot of other people are really excited. My friends and I, the ones that I play Apex with, we played through Divinity Original Sin 2. And when they announced Baldur's Gate 3, we were like, okay, as soon as that game comes out, we're all getting it, and that's going to be our weekly thing, is playing through Baldur's Gate. We've already discussed which classes we want to play and that sort of thing. So yeah, looking forward to it.
That's really cool. This has been an early access and people have said really amazing things about it. I played Divinity 1, Divinity 2 as well. I'm excited about this, but this is falls into the line of like, when am I actually going to get time to play it? And Starfield as well. But I'll definitely suggest that to my brothers. Hey, let's play this after we play Valheim. So we're enjoying that sort of survival builder thing that we do with Valheim and Be Rising. And I know my brother's playing another one. But Baldur's Gate, I remember playing this in the 90s, seeing the first one. I remember seeing, like, I'd read about, okay, this is going to get really geeky, but I read about the spell, like magic missiles in books, right? Like, I grew up reading fantasy. I'm like, okay. And the first time I got to see like a graphical representation of magic missiles was in Baldur's Gate 1. And I remember the game, and I remember there was a scene in Baldur's Gate 1. It was like an in-game scene where a guy casts magic missiles and you see these little orbs spawn in a horizontal line and they hit an enemy. Like, oh my God, that's so cool. I wish I could do that. But you know, this is exciting. And I saw the collector's edition. Yeah, I just wish I had time to figure out when to play this, because I'd love to buy it. And one of my coworkers was talking to me about Starfield as well. I'm like, oh my God, I want to buy Starfield now. But I don't know. But yeah, no, this looks fun, looks exciting. I haven't heard a single bad thing about it. The one thing, I don't know if you experienced this, Adam, was in Divinity 1, I felt that as you got higher levels, combat dragged on. Like in the beginning, an encounter would be like 5 minutes, but as you got to like level 18, level 19 in Divinity 1, you felt like it would take 45, 50 minutes for a battle, which really irritated me. And I don't know if you felt that playing number 2.
I have not played it single player. We were playing multiplayer, and I wonder if to an extent it didn't, the battles themselves probably felt longer. We definitely died a lot of times and had to redo battles several times, but I'm wondering if maybe it didn't feel quite as long because since we were playing as multiple people, when rather than it becomes a character's turn and then you think, what do I want to do with this character? We're thinking, what do I want to do while it's the other two guys' turns? And as a result, as soon as it's our turn, we basically have already decided what we're going to be doing and can get right into it. So that might have made it a little bit faster, or at least feel a little bit faster in that sense, because yeah, we're not having that the time that you spend thinking, we're doing that while other people are playing, not you think, you play, you think, you play. So because of that, the three of those, you have those three thinking phases, but they're not taking up time because they're being done simultaneously. I don't know. Maybe it felt like that. Or maybe also, too, because I was playing with friends, we're chatting the whole time. So it's not just you sitting there in silence. Like, so that might have, when you're having fun, time flies. That might have been an issue as well. But the later fights definitely did take longer. I wouldn't say they necessarily felt as long, but yeah.
You know, like I remember playing number two with my brothers, and I felt like that definitely fight to win faster was much easier. Even though you're playing with AI players, but with like computer players, for some reason, we didn't change the difficulty. This game felt way easier, at number two anyway. And I remember just bouncing off number one at a high level just because the enemies felt so tanky, and it felt like you had to do a lot more to get something to die. But I'm sure they'll fix it. This is an entire, this is a Baldur's Gate universe. It's not the Divinity universe. I'm looking forward to it, and we'll see. When is this coming out?
August.
August next month.
Oh, they moved it. It was weird. They moved it. I think, what did they say? They moved it forward on PC, and they moved it back on console. So I think they moved it later on PlayStation, and they moved it earlier on PC. And then Xbox, we're still not sure because they're still trying to get the split screen to work. I think it's split screen to work on the Xbox Series S and PlayStation, but not PlayStation. Xbox One parity across both systems. And until it works on both systems, they will not allow them to release. And because of that, they had to push back the date on the Xbox, but they didn't want to make everybody else wait. So they're still going to be releasing pretty soon for PlayStation and PC.
That makes sense. It does make sense as well, because again, this comes down to the fact of early access. This has been an early access on PC for a long time. They've had tons of feedback, right? If you've ever been an early access gamer, you play games and if something crashes, something's like, hey, do you want to send this feedback to the developer? And I think as a middle-aged gamer, I say yes now, but it makes sense about the PC version. Cool.
Yeah. And when I heard that news, it actually made me think too, because that was one of the things that they said with Final Fantasy 16. Now, I still don't know why Final Fantasy 7 Remake was not on Xbox. That should have been on Xbox by now. But I was wondering if, because I was wondering if part of the issue with 16 was, because people were even saying some of the big icon fights, their PlayStations were heating up really hot. So I was wondering if maybe some of those were a bit too intensive for the Series S. And because of that, it basically made it that they're like, we could do it for the X, but for the S, it would struggle quite a bit. And it was just, that was part of the decision where they were like, it's just too much work. So I don't know if, yeah.
That's an interesting take by Microsoft, but it makes sense. I think that's like a corporate philosophy of, hey, where we have these devices, but we want the same experience across all devices instead of saying, hey, this is my Sony Xperia $1,500 phone, and this is my Sony Xperia $1,000 phone. I want the same experience, but actually it's impossible because the $1,500 phone has a latest gen Qualcomm processor. This has a last gen processor. I think companies need to get away from that. It's ridiculous.
I think of the Xbox issue, I think part of it was that this isn't like a mid-gen upgrade like the PlayStation Pro or what was it, the Xbox One X. Where this is mid-generation, we're like, okay, this is going to be a step up. You're going to get the same game, but it's going to have slightly better frame rates or better graphic. The graphics are going to be, the resolution is going to be better. The resolution can be fine on the Series S. Like the Series S, if the resolution is lower, that's perfectly fine. If the frame rates are a little bit lower, I'm not sure if they wanted frame rate parity. Because, for instance, Starfield is going to be 4K on the Series X, and it's only going to be 1440. On the Series S. So resolution, they seem to be perfectly okay with having a slightly lower resolution. But I think part of it was when they first came out, they're like, hey, here's the big boy Xbox and here's the budget Xbox, but you're going to be able to play all your games on both. Don't worry, you know, about that. And I think because of that, it did get to the point where we made a promise that all these games are going to be delivered on both and you're going to be able to get the same experience with the exception of maybe slightly lower frame rates or slightly lower resolution, but the game is functionally going to be exactly the same on both. And I think that because of that, they basically say we have to have this policy, because if we change now and we say, okay, we're going to allow it on the X but not on the S, people who bought the S are going to be really mad because we told them they can play these games and now we're like, sorry, too late. So I think in that sense, they're thinking, we said we're going to do this, we have to stick by those promises that we made.
Yeah, no, and I agree. If you do say something beforehand, I don't think it's a good idea to change things. So, no, that makes sense. But I think going forward, insisting on parity across like an ecosystem of devices, it's a bit ridiculous because people buy devices for different reasons and different economic levels. So you need to be respectful of that. And also at the same time, when people buy a lower end part of a console, like, yeah, I know this is not going to run things at 4K. That's fine. I play games at 4K on PC, but at the same time, I know at some point, this card that I have in my machine is not going to be able to play games at 4K anymore, or 8K when that eventually comes, and I'll be playing games at 4K. I know my younger brother plays games at 1080p, and I have not played games at 1080p in forever, but that's fine for him, so why not?
A bit of an embarrassing story about that. I was trying to get I got a new capture card for my TV, and it was having trouble interfacing with the PlayStation, and so I was looking up all these things, and one of the solutions was to turn the PlayStation 5 down to 1080p from 4K. So I had done that, and I had forgotten to reset it. And I had played the entirety of Final Fantasy 16 in 1080p on my 4K TV, and I had no idea the whole time I was playing in 1080p. Yeah.
So did you notice at all?
I didn't notice at all. Okay. I had no clue. Yeah, until recently I was trying to do video capturing so that I can put together some of the videos that I've done. And I was like, why is it not showing me the option for 4K video? What's going on? And I was trying to figure out why I couldn't get the option for 4K video. And then finally I realized because I set my PlayStation to 1080p. It's not set to 4K. So why would it record a 4K video when it's only rendering the game at 1080p? That's why. So then I set it back up to 4K, and I was like, okay. But then when I set it back up to 4K, I was like, be honest, I really don't see that big of a difference.
Damn. For me, when I first got this monitor many years ago, if I had to play some games at 1080 because my graphics card back then did not support some games at 4K. And when it went to 1080, it was just like blurry. Like even you, right? Like I'm at 4K right now, and like, of course, your video is blurry, but if I had to switch this resolution down to 1080, I know it would look even more horrible, and that would suck.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe my vision's starting to blur anyway, and I'm hitting the gap.
My vision is already starting to blur.
But you got glasses. Maybe I need glasses. Maybe if I had glasses, I would notice a difference.
Maybe. When's the last time you had your eyes tested? Because if you have to think about it, it's been a long time.
Yeah, I guess it was the last time we had to do the health check for renewing my ARC.
Back in the ARC days. Oh, so that is a long time.
That'd be 2011, maybe 2010. Maybe 2010 was the last time my eyes checked. They're good enough. They function.
Okay, yeah. I mean, if it's not broken, don't fix it.